What we've been doing over the last couple weeks and what we're going to continue to do for the next couple weeks is we're just really trying to get back to and really laser focus in on the foundation, the core, the DNA of who we are at Mountain View. So as an elder team, just been looking back over the last 20 years of God's faithfulness as this church family and just trying to zone in and just be able to praise God for the fact that we've been able to keep it about what we desired to keep it about. And it's just simply this, the love of God and love of others. And the thing that we're really trying to give handlebars for all of us to be able to do is that we're all about making room for more people to join us on this journey of faith. Making room for more people to join us on this journey of faith. And so last week, Pastor Tim shared with us the motive, which the motive, just simply put, is from Matthew 22. And so you can go ahead and look at it. You probably know it if you spend any time around the word, but it is just where Jesus said, man, this is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, right? That's the core of who we are. And so this week, building upon the core of who we are striving to be, we're just going to be talking about this, the methods or the movements or the things that we do to be able to accomplish the mission, the methods and movements of the mission. And so what, just from the very beginning, man, if our foundation is the love of God and it's pure, then the movements, the way that we live out that love of God, man, it can change. It can pivot. It can look different. It doesn't always have to stay the same. And so that's why, man, some of us are really still just working through even just what we did with Launch and Services over at Good Hope. What's the heart behind it? What's our motive? Our motive is that, man, we've been captivated by the love of God. And we're noticing that there's more people that are still living far from God, but we don't necessarily have a whole lot of room here. So let's go make more space for them. And guess what? Just as simply put as that, guess what's happening? People that literally will never come here to this building are joining services, are responding to the love of God through the people of God over there. And they're coming face to face with reality that there is a Savior that loves them. So is that different than what we've done before? Yeah. Is it wrong? No. Why? Because the motive is boiled down to, man, we love God and we have experienced Him and we want more people to love Him and experience Him. There's all different types of things. This can flesh its way out a whole bunch of ways. But what I really want us to be able to zone in on is the fact that, man, our foundation really does matter. Our foundation matters. And so I've got one point for you today. So if you remember one thing other than Scripture, man, remember Scripture. And then if you have room, then remember this. That's fine. Okay. But it's just simply this, that you are perfectly positioned to be used by God. You are perfectly positioned to be used by God. Right now, based off of your relationship with Jesus, you are perfectly positioned to be used by God. Not some future version of you, not if you add a whole bunch of things to your already chaotic life, but man, right now, in the season you're in, with the friends you have, with the responsibilities that you have, with the hobbies that you have, all of these things, man, you are perfectly positioned to be used by God. My follow-up to you is, do you believe that? And I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week, and he's burdened for another one of our mutual friends, because my one friend sees all this potential in our other friend, trying to help him be able to see, man, what could happen if he would just go out and get after it? What could happen? But Our friend is just really struggling to be able to see, doesn't know what the first step is, doesn't know what to cut in order to be able to take those steps. And so he's just stuck, not necessarily living and experiencing to the fullness what God could be doing through him. That's a lot of us spiritually. Is that, man, I know, I've had conversations with a lot of you that you desire to be used by God in a profound way. You just don't know where to start. And so, man, that's what we're getting after today. Man, I'm going to tell you again, man, right now, you are perfectly positioned to be used by God. And so what we're going to see is that the reason why our foundation, this love of God, is so important is because foundations are important in and of themselves, are they not? Right? Like if you're going to build a house, what's kind of an area that you wouldn't skimp on? Foundation, that's probably a good place to start, right? Yeah. You're not going to build a junky foundation. Why? Because what's going to happen when you build up on top of it? What's going to happen? It's going to settle, crumble, big old mess, waste of money, right? Right? And so, man, so what we're striving to be as Mountain View, so I'm going to talk to us as a family. Our foundation is the love of God. But what I'm going to be zoning in on now that, hey, as a family, this is our foundation. But now what we have to do as a personal evaluation is, man, what is your foundation? What is your foundation? What are you building your life upon? Man, let's write a song about that or something. Okay, one of you is alive. That's good. All right. We're with it, right? So this idea of the foundation, man, it is so important, right? What does Jesus say in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27? He says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall." Why? Because it had been founded on the rock. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So why are we talking about this? I mean, your foundation matters. Right? And so if we're talking about the love of God, then it needs to be able to really get inside of you and become a foundation inside of you so that it then changes your whole life. Right? So we talk a whole lot about, we use these three words here at Mountain View, just to give you a picture, right? Learning, growing, and changing. Hey, you guys are just, look at, you can say it with your chest, Sandra. I believe in you, right? Learning, growing, and changing, right? And so this is the idea, right? Like, how bad would it be if you're learning based off of a horrible foundation? Like, what if the foundation of my life is that it's all about me and what I prefer, right? So if I'm learning that life is all about me, and I'm growing in my understanding that life is all about me, and I'm changing because I'm doing things based off of life is all about me, then is my life going to look very well? I'm probably not going to have any friends, right? I'm probably going to act more like a jerk. I'm working on it. I'm probably going to act more like a jerk if I live that way, right? It's a reality, right? But if my life is founded upon, man, the love of God, and I build my life on the love of God, and I'm learning what that means, I'm growing in my understanding of how much God loves me, it's changing me, right? If I do that, then what can happen to me if life comes and shatters and beats upon me? If my life is built on the love of God for me, then what's going to happen? I'll be able to stand, right? I'll be able to stand or withstand, right? I'll give you another illustration. So there's a pastor and author named John Mark Comer. And so he uses the same idea, but uses different words. He uses the idea of, man, we should be with him. Then we can, as we are with him, then we become like him. then as we become like him, then what begins to happen is we begin to do what he does. Right? So this idea, man, okay, because God has so loved me, then it changes what I desire. Now, I've experienced this love, and so now I want to be with him, right? And so what happens when we spend time with people? What happens? Do we become like each other? We do, right? So, man, if I'm spending time with God, then I'm going to become like him, and then I'm going to begin doing things the way that he does things or would do things, right? I'll give you one more. No, grow, go. You're like, what the heck is happening with this? I'm trying to give you handlebars to be able to see how important your foundation is, right? So, man, if you've come to know the love of God on your behalf, you come to know it, you experience that man, the Savior of the universe has invaded everything and decided to come after you. When you understand the love of the Father for you, when you know, when you experience that, then what happens is you are going to grow because you want to experience that love even more. So what begins to happen is as you know God's love for you, you want to put yourself in situations where you're growing in your experience of that. So what does that look like? That means that you begin not only opening up your Bible on Sundays, but you begin reading about this God for yourself. You begin learning how to pray. You begin joining a study. You begin tapping on somebody that's your friend that also follows Jesus, and you say, hey, can you help me grow? Can you help me figure out what does this look like for me to follow Jesus? And as you are knowing him, as you are growing, then what begins to happen is you see your whole life as an avenue for you to go in the love of God and love others. You see this? So the foundation is the love of God for you. And based off of you experiencing, knowing, growing in your understanding of the love of God for you, then what begins to happen is it's not that you just know all these things mentally, intellectually. It's that you are experiencing God for yourself. And as you experience God for yourself, what begins to happen is you begin to extend that love to the people around you. Man, and so that's what we're getting at today. Listen, too many of us, we just allow our relationship with God to be a part of our lives, not the very foundation. And that's a very big difference there, right? And so if I allow my relationship with God to simply be a part of my life, then what happens? Then God is competing for my time. God is just another thing in which I have to try to cram into my schedule. He's just another thing fighting for my attention and my affection. And guess what? When life gets busy, what's the first thing to go? Y'all can be real with me. It's fine. What's the point in this? And so, and look, this is the danger. Is that a lot of us build our lives with God just being a part of our lives, which means that what's the foundation? Not God, right? Okay, so we're building our lives based off of ourselves. God is a part of our lives. So what happens when the storms of life come? What happens when grief comes? What happens when death comes? What happens when job loss happens? What happens when the storms of life come? Okay, our foundation is faulty because it's built on us. And then we've fallen into the illusion from the enemy that, man, God was a part of my life. Why didn't he protect me from that? So it's our desire as a church family that every single one of us, every single person that comes in contact with us over the course of the week, which look around, if every single person that comes in contact with every single person in this room comes in contact with the love of God, man, what would happen to this region? What would happen if 200 of us would come to the realization that, you know, God, I want to stop allowing you to just be a part of my life, but I want to build my life upon you. And we allowed ourselves, the most important thing about ourselves, to just go after God's love for us and to understand the depths of his care and his passion for us. That it's not some future version of us that he died on the cross for, but it's us right now in our situation. He came. The Savior has come. That is the good news. And because he has come, then we are in awe of that love, and we allow it to change the way that we live. Change the way that we love other people. Right? And so we need to understand that it is our desire that every single one of us would experience God in that way, that he would just shift from a part of our life to be the very foundation. And so in your Bible, man, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 11. But man, if the love of God is our foundation, then man, the movements, the way that we do things, the way that we express God's love, it will change. It will change. Because what's going to happen is, instead of us wishing that we are further along in our faith journey, we're going to start to stand right now where we are. We're going to start to be able to see that, man, I am perfectly positioned to be used by God. And it's not that I need to go start some new initiative. You don't need to go launch another campus. You don't need to go start a school. You don't need to do a tent revival. You don't need to do whatever it is in your mind that you have this big, grandiose thing. How do I know that? Because when the love of God invades you, it starts with you and then the people closest to you. In the situations, the places, the families, the friends that you have. And we must get to a point and a place where we're allowing the love of God to affect that first before we start to go launch all these big things, right? Man, there is power and meaning in everything we do when we understand that the foundation is sure. And so let's get after it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. We'll start reading. It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. All right, so let's stop right there. So what is it saying? What's another way of putting the fear of the Lord? Therefore, since we know the holy awe, okay. Sheesh. Dang, she's a dictionary, a thesaurus over there. Dang. Oh, the power of other translations. I love that. Right. So therefore, let's just simplify it. What are we talking about today? Therefore, since we know the love of God, right? Since we have experienced the love of God, since we are in awe of the fact that God loves us, then what are we to do? What does it say? Persuade others, right? What's another way? Let's use the same words here. Since God loved us, we now can love others, man. Let's just keep it real. That's it. That's it, right? We've made it way more complicated than it needs to be. But listen, it's because we've gone too many steps down the road and we're trying to do things in some sort of a position that we've forsaken the very fact that we are loved by God even without doing more stuff. So many of us feel like we need to do stuff to get God's favor. Well, guess what? He loved you when you were dead in your sin. What do you bring to the table? Your sin. Right? He loved you right there. So if he loves us right there, then man, he doesn't need you to earn his love. Man, he lavishes his love upon us. And because we've experienced that love, then we persuade others. Let's jump on down to verse 14. Why is this so important? It's so important because verse 14 says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is it saying? Man, so we as a family, it is our hope that every single one of us has come to this awareness of the love of God for ourselves. Man, if you haven't experienced the love of God for yourself personally, man, that's step one. Man, would you receive Christ as Lord? That's one. We don't move in this way of trying to do the right things to get God's attention. Man, he lavished his attention, his affection on us when we were dead. Because of that, man, that love of God, that controls us. That's the when it's the foundation of our lives, then his love for us influences everything we do. It changes the way that we think, the way that we see, right? What does he say? We've concluded this, that one has died for all. What is that talking about? Man, Christ died for me. And if he died for me, what does that mean for you? Yo, man, there's people out there that he's died for that don't yet believe. And so, man, since there's people out there that don't know the love of God, then what do we need to do? Man, this is the most important thing. What are we to do? He says, man, we no longer live for ourselves, right? This is talking about the foundation. What's the foundation for our lives? It is the love of Christ. We don't have time to build this foundation on ourselves anymore, but we build it upon him. Let's go to verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. So what is he saying there? Translation. Man, we don't think the way we used to think. We don't see things. We don't see people the way we used to see people. He keeps going. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him no longer. So even though I used to not understand who Jesus was, I see him for who he truly is. And so now I can't go back to the old way. Does that make sense? It all hinges on your experience of the love of God for you. For you. He keeps going. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. All right, so what is it saying? A whole lot there. That's a whole lot. Right. But what is it saying? Man, we've been made new. We see the world differently now. Why? Not because that's the good thing to do, but because Christ invaded our lives. And we see, we know, we can understand God's passion for the people all around us. And so now God, in his wisdom, what did it say? Man, he entrusted us the message of reconciliation. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy, Tone? What does it mean to entrust something to somebody? Yeah, charge them with sharing it. Right? So if they don't share it, then what happens? It doesn't go out, right? And so God, in his mercy, I'm praying that the Spirit is beginning to pull things together in your brain is that, yo, we need to experience him. It's not about just this intellectual knowing the right things. Man, when you experience God, you begin to see things different. The way of this world doesn't compute. It doesn't fit anymore. That's what it means, that the old has passed away. And so now what we get the privilege of doing is we get the privilege of learning how to live in light of this new reality. that Christ is Lord and he invites us to be able to reconcile more people to him. Right? Verse 20 keeps going. He says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. So we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And then chapter 6, verse 1 says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So what is it saying? Man, the foundation of our lives must be the love of God. It must be. If we build our lives on anything else, we will not stand. However, when we build our lives on the love of God, what does that mean? What does that look like? Man, the way that we express that is going to be different. You don't have to only stand up here and play an instrument to be able to honor and glorify God. You don't only have to stand here and preach to be able to be used by God. You don't only have to serve in the children's ministry. You don't only have to do things that are quote unquote sanctioned by the church. What is this saying? What does verse 20 say? This is important. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, and I'm pretty much just reading the text. Therefore, we are what? We are ambassadors. Notice what it doesn't say. Yep. It doesn't say that we will become ambassadors. It doesn't say that when you get really serious about Jesus that you grow into an ambassador. It says, man, right here, as you are, we are ambassadors for Christ. And then notice, what does it say? Keep reading. It says, God is making his appeal through us. So what does that mean? This is what, it's our heart's cry that all of us would be able to learn. This is giving like purpose and meaning to everything that you do in life. Because the message is getting out. God is making his appeal through you. Right? But how? Through your everyday, radical, ordinary living. That's what this is giving power to. He says, man, so many, if we have conversations with so many people, like they just feel so discouraged because they're too old to be able to do things. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Man, if we think that ministry is some sort of a position only, we've got a wrong foundation. And the foundation is, man, God loves me and I love him. And I want to get all of that love that I possibly can. And because I'm getting all of that love, what it's beginning to do is it's giving me a heart for the people that are already around us. Had a conversation at prayer meeting and was just sharing. He could have preached the text. He's like, man, I'm coming to understand just how much God loves me, and I'm understanding that my role as a husband is to love my wife the way that Christ loves me. Yo, that's what we're talking about, right? Overwhelmed by the way that God loves me, that it's changing the way that I love other people. But why does that feel like that's not good enough? You know, have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus existed for 30 years before he started his ministry? So was he not still our Messiah? Was he still not doing the will of his Father? Was he still not doing things that were meaningful? No. Man, the way that we operate in everything comes alive. Why? Because our foundation is the love of God. Therefore, everything else flows through the love of God. Right? So Your parenting then becomes an avenue for you to not do things the way that you used to do things, right? The old way. We used to live for ourselves. I used to parent out of my own anger, frustration, and my own expectations. But because of what God is doing inside of me, now I get to partner with God and what He's doing with my family. Isn't that like ground zero for the war? Right? And so suddenly now our marriages, we can see our marriages different because we could see that, man, the most important thing for our children is not our children. The most important thing that we can model for our children is our marriage. Mom and dad on the same team, modeling God's love, forgiving, present, together, right? Man, that gives meaning and purpose so we can awaken to be able to see that, man, even in my marriage, this is an important aspect. Man, on the job site, it's not just a job. You know, how many of us over the last year have celebrated the fact that God gave us a job, a new job? And we're like, man, God gave this to me. Is that an accident? Or do we think that maybe that we're perfectly positioned to be used by God? Man, that's what it is, our heart's desire that all of us would awaken to be able to see. Man, if you're at the retirement age and you go through the very real like heartbreak of like trying to figure out who you are, man, that's an indication. Hey, listen, press into the foundation. What's your foundation? Foundation is the love of God, not what you do, okay? So if the love of God is the foundation and you're at that stage of life where you have a little bit more time, then you be the best grandma and grandpa that you could possibly be. Be the grandma that the kids that are on your street don't have. Allow the love of God to invade your life so that you see every single person the way that God sees them. And what begins to happen is you have a heartbeat for them. And just like the text says, it's like, man, I'm overwhelmed with God's love for me that I'm imploring you. Man, come to Christ. Do you know what my God has done for you? Man, He's taken on your sin. He sat in all of that. He took the punishment that you deserve. He absorbed it so that you could be made right with Him. Right? But it's in the ordinary that God shows up. Man, we read texts like children are a heritage. They are a blessing from God. But then we often flesh out the way we parent as if they are in the way. Sheesh. I just got a little real right there. Man, if we're going to believe this, that God gives children as a blessing, then man, we better partner with God and be like, yo, God, what are you trying to do with them? Well, how can I show up in their life, right? Man, if you're a part of, you know, a sports team, man, you're not there on accident. To be able to just be the love of God for your teammates. If you're a coach, you're not just a coach. You are powered by the love of God. Man, this brings power to everything we do. And that's our hope. Is that every single one of us, that we would begin to awaken this holy calling that God has placed on every single one of us who follow Him. That the people in our lives are there for a reason. And we are the avenue in which God is making His appeal through us. Man, what would happen if 200 of us stood up and we made that a reality this week? Things would change. You don't have to add something more to your schedule. You live out of this love of God and you allow it to influence the things you are already doing. Let me give you one more example and then I'll land the plane. So there's this research group that does a whole bunch of research in Christian things. I don't know how else to describe it. Sounds pretty nerdy and it is, but this was really profound. They did a study on why a lot of millennials have been leaving the church in droves. And they found that one of the reasons that millennials were leaving the church, they were leaving their relationship with God behind, was this. that they didn't have a single individual in their lives that they were close to that was a fully committed Christian that they wanted to model. They didn't have a single individual in their lives that they were close to who was a fully committed Christian that they wanted to model. Do you see a mission field yet? Your friendships, your neighbors, your families. We don't need to wait till one day, but there is power and influence about us showing up in all of the love of God and just allowing Him to flow through us. Because I had one of these men in my life, and he drastically changed me. I can't tell you it's not that he did all these crazy things, but he was like, man, I'm going to show up. He's an interesting individual. It's quirky, just like me. I picked it up from him, I guess. But man, he showed up in my life. I saw him trying to seek God, and I was like, man, I could do that. It's nothing crazy. It's just being faithful and allowing the love of God to change you. And so as we close, I'm going to invite the team to come on up and lead us in a closing song. But as we do that, man, if you're here today and, you know, this conversation is kind of stirring some things inside of you, I just want to encourage you, man. Do you know the love of God for you? Maybe you're trying to do this whole Christian thing in your own strength and you do really well for a little while and then you fall flat. Man, I just want to encourage you, man. Maybe your foundation isn't the love of God, but it's your own effort. Man, let's lay that down. It's too tired. Would all of us be able to be honest with God and to be able to say, God, I want you to be the foundation. And would you use me as you see fit? And so if you're at that point that you want to make that decision to be able to follow Jesus, then man, grab somebody. The person next to you is perfectly positioned to be used by God right now to lead you to understand that. If they're afraid, they come on up. I'll talk with them too. But man, it's the most important thing is the love of God. So what are we doing with that? What foundation are you building your life on? Let's pray. So Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for your protection over this church family. And I pray that you would please overwhelm us and consume us with your love so that we can go and we can take it to those around us. I pray for those that are here that haven't yet trusted you as Lord. I pray that they would feel your love and your embrace tapping on them, stirring inside of them right now, and that they would yield themselves to you. And I pray for the opportunities that every single one of us are going to have today and every single day this week. I pray that we would do so controlled and consumed by the love of God. So Lord, do what you need to do in us and through us now. In your name we pray. Amen.